Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Thursday, April 9th. I'm Sarith Hawk. An upcoming art festival in rural Tulare County celebrates orange blossoms while aiming to uplift the community.
My goal is that the community becomes very involved and we learn to appreciate the arts and how the arts affect us in a positive way.
Today, we speak with the leader of Lindsay Arts. We'll learn more about his vision for the arts in Lindsay and about an upcoming exhibit. But first, these headlines. The attorney for a man shot by ICE agents in Stanislaus County on Tuesday says the agents acted on wrong information. The attorney disputes claims that his client was a gang member from El Salvador or that he was wanted for questioning in connection to a murder. The man's family says he was acquitted of any charges and had no gang involvement. The man is being treated for a gunshot wound at a hospital. The Fresno County District Attorney will not bring charges against a Fresno man after Clovis police identified him for alleged involvement in a student walkout. The DA's office says there is not sufficient evidence to charge 41-year-old Alfred Aldretti. Clovis police sought a legal case against him after some 200 Clovis Unified students staged a mass walkout earlier this year. The DA's office said it would be difficult to prove Aldretti caused students to be delinquent. The walkouts were part of a wave of student protests against immigration enforcement. A bill to withhold certain information about the California high-speed rail is moving forward in the Assembly. The legislation gives the Inspector General of the High-Speed Rail Authority authorization to hold reports from the public which are deemed to reveal weaknesses or security risks. Critics like Republican Assemblywoman Alexandra Macedo says it's the latest attempt to shield the project from transparency.
I mean, it was just on 60 Minutes this past week that there's national scrutiny of this project, that I would think as much information as possible being out there is better. I mean, we're seeing this even with the Capital Annex project of having scrutiny for things being kept secret.
Supporters of the bill say that the holds are only temporary. After a determination is made about risks, the Inspector General would have 120 days to release the reports or explain why confidentiality is needed. There could soon be a limit on how much someone can resell a ticket in California, thanks to a bill that passed a key committee at the state capitol this week. It would ban someone from reselling a ticket to a concert or live event for more than 10% above the original price. Democratic Assemblymember Matt Haney of San Francisco authored the bill. He says it's needed to crack down on professional scalpers that drive up prices for tickets.
If somebody lined up before you could get there, bought all the tickets, even blocked the entrances in some cases for you to even get to the box office, and then held these tickets behind their back and forced you to pay 4, 5, 6, 10 times as much for the ticket cost if you bought it directly, that would be madness. But that's exactly what is happening right now online.
But the Consumer Federation of California warns the bill could limit other sellers' ability to compete with Ticketmaster, who they say has a monopoly on ticket sales. California is one of several states currently suing Ticketmaster for what it says are anti-competitive practices. The California Supreme Court has ordered a pause into an election fraud investigation being led by Riverside County Sheriff Chad Bianco. He's a Republican candidate for California governor. Bianco seized more than 500,000 ballots from a special election held last November. He said he intended to investigate a complaint from a local citizens group, but voting rights advocates challenged the move. Last month, California Attorney General Rob Bonta asked the court to step in. The court is reviewing the legal challenge against the allegations.
You're listening to the Valley's only daily news podcast, Central Valley Daily. Show your support for local news by joining us at Corks and Brews, KVPR's annual spring fundraiser. On Sunday, May 3rd, enjoy an afternoon of fine wine and craft beer tastings. New this year, food will be available for purchase from some of the Valley's favorite food vendors. We encourage you to drink responsibly, find answers to frequently asked questions, and purchase your $75 ticket at kvpr.org.
And now to our main story. The sweet smell of orange blossoms is in the air, and that means it's almost time for the Orange Blossom Festival art show in Tulare County. The festival in the town of Lindsay is celebrating its 94th year. The event, in honor of the fragrant flowers, is hosted by Lindsay Arts and showcases the work of local artists. Shane Gafog is the president of the nonprofit Lindsay Arts and is an artist himself. I recently caught up with Shane. We talked about this year's Orange Blossom Festival, as well as his vision for the future of art in his community.
Well, let me just say that the Lindsay Arts Association, or Lindsay Arts, was first established in 1941, so it's got a long history. And the goal is to, you know, I mean, everybody wants to create. Everybody, a lot of people paint. But they don't have a place to show their work, or they do drawings, or they do photography. And the goal is to, let's create a community-based gallery space where people can bring in their work and exhibit it.
Yeah, the festival, as you mentioned, since 1941, 94-year history. This year, you have an exhibit called Citrus Dreaming, where you've been calling for art submissions. That's closed now. How was the community invited to contribute their artwork?
We do it through a newsletter. We do it through Facebook and Instagram. And we send out applications for people to submit their work. And, you know, I think we have like 30 different artists this year.
And were they limited to paintings? What kind of artwork were people submitting? What will judges be reviewing?
They're going to be reviewing paintings, drawings, photography, mixed media. There'll be some sculptures. That's primarily it. There's also digital artwork that is being submitted. And part of the criteria is originality and also technique and how established you are with your techniques. But the main thing is originality. We don't want copies of things. We want it to be coming from directly from the artist's soul.
Yeah, that actually reminds me of the promotional image for the art show. It's really captivating. I'll just describe what it looks like. It's an outline of someone's profile with oranges and orange blossoms blooming inside. It's really creative, and it makes me wonder, is there more than meets the eye about citrus? Sort of what does that symbolize in a place like Lindsay?
Well, Lindsay was founded, you know, in the 1910, I think, is when it became a city. And there was a big gold rush here, and the gold was citrus. And there was thousands of acres of citrus planted around this area. And it became a economic boom for this area. And so every year around this time, all the oranges, the blossoms bloom, and the fragrance that's in the air is really intoxicating. And sometimes it's depending on where you're driving, if you have your window down, it's like, wow, it overtakes you. And here's a funny story. So there's a parade that goes along with this. And when I was a kid, I think maybe 7 years old, I was in the Cub Scouts and I got to ride my bicycle in the parade. And that was a huge thing for me to do. Very exciting. And then when I was a freshman in high school, my art teacher took my drawing and without telling me, he had it framed and put it in the Orange Blossom Art Show. And I won first prize.
Wow.
So I have a long history with all this.
Right. And let's just talk about the town of Lindsay. It's a pretty small town. It's about 12,000 people. You're the president of Lindsay Arts. What do you see as your role when it comes to creating a vibrant art scene in this rural town?
Yes. So I grew up here, and then I went off to CalArts, and then I moved to L.A., moved to New York for a while, back to L.A., and then at the beginning of COVID, I came back and I was looking around and trying to find my tribe of people around this area again. And I started curating shows about 10 years ago at the Lindsay Museum. They asked me if I would participate. So I started putting together shows and I was bringing in artists from LA, from New York, and the local community really responded to it in a great way. And suddenly it's like, this is a real museum now. Hmm. It's not just, hey, let's hang up a photograph of our favorite pet. And so I've been building on that. And my hope is that we can take it to a level where for the San Joaquin Valley, it's really seen as a museum that first of all is all encompassing with the community. And then to curate shows that really ask questions for people. For instance, the Edgar Payne painting that I mentioned, and it was done in 1924. So here's a plein air artist, and he's painting what he sees. And I thought, well, wouldn't it be great to find four more contemporary plein air artists, and let's compare and contrast. And what I realized is that the plein air painting by Edgar Payne was about how he saw through his eyes. And the newer work, the more contemporary artists, it's how we have all been trained to see almost through a technical eye, through photography, through film, through our TV sets, and now through our phones. And there is a remarkable difference in how we see the world around us. That's just one example. And I just think there's so much to explore. And my goal is that the community becomes very involved and we learn to appreciate the arts and how the arts affect us in a positive way and to help build the community.
Yeah, and I'm just curious, because you are an artist yourself, do you feel that the Valley has enough support and resources?
I do. It's something that has to be worked on to expand it, that's for sure. But I feel that the people around this area, and it's been very rewarding and also surprising to me, is for these openings that we have, people are coming from, you know, a town 30 miles away or 45 minutes away. And so suddenly we've got a few hundred people at these openings where it used to be maybe 15 or 20 people. So yes, they're responding to it. I think it's a work in progress for sure. And, you know, we want to keep expanding. I'm talking with the city manager of Lindsay about how we can bring more art and culture to the town and how we get the townspeople more involved. And for instance, later this month, I'm going to speak at the local Lindsay High School to the art classes about their participation and what we can do.
Shane Gafog, president of Lindsay Arts, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Next week on April 17th, Lindsay Arts will host an opening reception for its Orange Blossom Festival art show. You can find more details about the festival and other upcoming exhibits on the Lindsay Arts website. Go to lindsayarts.com. And that is today's show. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden, Elizabeth Arcalian, Crescencio Rodriguez Delgado, and KVPR, with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Sarith Hawk. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
You know, every day on Up First, NPR's Golden Globe-nominated morning news podcast, we bring you three essential stories. At the heart of each story are questions. What really happened? What really mattered? What happens next? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious and to follow the facts. Follow Up First wherever you get your podcasts and start your day knowing what matters and why.